We got a special treat this morning. I'm looking forward to this. Kay Hilton is going to come and bring a word from the Lord. Kay is an ardent student of the Word of God. She diligently studies the Word of God, and she's a great teacher. And if you'll listen carefully this morning, you will grow and you will learn. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Kay.
Give her a good welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, the Lord had put something on my heart a few months ago, and it just wouldn't leave me alone. So I appreciate the pastor giving me this opportunity to share it with you. Well, we are at war. The signs are all around us. And it's not just what's going on in the Middle East. It's not just Iran and Israel and China and all that stuff. It's not just the natural world where we've seen an increase in tornadoes and floods and earthquakes and hurricanes and winter storms. It's not just the cultural scene. Everything that God said was wrong is now said to be right. But God hasn't changed his mind or his word to be politically correct. It's still wrong when thousands of babies have their tiny bodies torn apart every year and their body parts are harvested to be sold and used in vaccines and cosmetics and who knows what else. It's still wrong when young people are kidnapped and sold into sex trafficking. It's still wrong when alcoholism and drug addiction is ripping families apart. It's still wrong to tell God that you refuse to be what he created you to be. It's still wrong to pervert marriage that God ordained to be between a man and a woman. It's still wrong to have a sexual relationship with someone you're not married to, whether that person is the opposite gender, the same gender, or an image in a magazine or on a computer screen. It's still wrong for people to be so consumed by anger and rage that violence erupts in homes, in schools, at work, and other places. But I just want to say, if you've been involved in any of these things, this is not a message of condemnation, because not one of us in this place is blameless. And I didn't even mention pride and gossip and gluttony and some of those other things I could have said. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and there's mercy and forgiveness at the cross, so we can run to him and he will set us free. But back to the war. What in the world is going on? This war is between two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. But I came to bring you good news today. The Lord says that he is shaking things up because he is about to release a tsunami wave of his glory. In Haggai 2, 6 through 9, we read, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts." And in Hebrews 12, 26 through 29, "But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God's glory is about to be poured out, not to the church, but through the church. The Lord says, I will pour myself out on those who are not just coming to consume, but who are willing to be consumed. I will not be contained. I will not be held in check. My glory will flow through conduits of faith to reach a dying world. This outpouring will not be like anything we've seen before. It will not be so much a movement of people coming into the church as the church going out to the people. There will be ministry in homes, in workplaces, in schools, and in public places like parks and movie theaters, just like there was yesterday. There will be covert or undercover ministry. Well, what in the world is that? The Lord said people will share the love of Jesus by using their talents and skills to teach others how to cook, how to sew, how to read, how to paint, how to maintain a vehicle, any other ordinary thing. We might even see some of these young people teaching our generation how to use a cell phone. In other words, ministry without the religious terminology and the mindsets that have kept people in the church box. The Lord will release creative ideas and strategies, so expect the unexpected. There will be new sounds in music and new freedom in worship. The Lord even said there are some gamers in this house today who, if they will commit themselves to Him, He will give them a game that will bring people to the Lord. And there are a lot of kids who play games. So that's a big thing. Multitudes of gifts, both spiritual and natural, to be used to gather a harvest during this outpouring. All who are willing will be used, both young and old. The Lord is looking for vessels that are flexible enough to submit to being remolded. It's all about having a servant's heart, for there's a great harvest to be yielded from this outpouring that's coming. God is going to bless and restore, certainly, but His heart is crying for the lost. God isn't interested in names on a church roster, but He's passionate about names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who work together without concern for credit will be especially blessed. Who is opposing us in this war? Satan and his kingdom. Satan is a fallen angel. He led a rebellion against God and he tried to take God's place. And he and the angels who rebelled with him were cast out of heaven. He's powerful, but he's not as powerful as God. He's intelligent, but he doesn't know everything. Satan has an organized demonic kingdom which is divided into various ranks and positions, such as rulers and authorities, powers and dominions. Demons have an assignment to hinder, accuse, slander, and confuse anyone who stands for Jesus. Ephesians 6:11-13 tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. And who are we, the church, and what are we to do? In Matthew 16:15-19, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of hell will not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." The word that Jesus chose to use for the church, ecclesia, is a government term, not a religious term. The International Dictionary of New Testament Theology defines it as an assembly of competent citizens who met at regular intervals to govern. Some of their duties included ruling on laws and social and cultural matters for the region, appointments to official positions, making regional policies, including contracts, treaties, war and peace, and financial matters, and summoning an army to assemble for war. Jesus intended for his church to be a ruling body in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 4:17 says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven to earth, and all believers are citizens of his kingdom now, not just later when we die, but now. Colossians 1:13 says, "He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." In Colossians 1:20-23, we see that the Father demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising Jesus from the dead and seating him at the Father's right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And the Father put everything under Jesus' feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is Jesus' body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. And according to Ephesians 2:6, we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the church, the ecclesia, sits together in the heavenly places in Christ as a ruling governmental assembly under his headship, with the authority and responsibility to rule over our regions, our families, and all that comes into our sphere of influence. Jesus, our King, the head of the church, has absolute authority over every demonic power, and we can exercise that authority in his name. We are to uphold the laws of our King and set social and cultural standards for our region by decreeing his word. Job 22:28 in the Amplified Version says, "You will also decide and decree a thing, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways." Paul said in Ephesians 3:8-11, "To me this grace was given to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord." So that means it was always God's purpose that the church, the ecclesia, in Jesus, make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. But we have some allies in this war. We have some supernatural allies, the angel armies. Before a move of God, angelic activity usually increases, and it has increased the past few years. Hebrews 1:14 says of angels, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Angels stand ready to assist the heirs of salvation, the believers, the church. You know, we Christians have no problem believing that the devil and his fallen angels are active in our lives. How often do we say, "The devil's really after me today," or, "That's just an attack of the enemy"? We say it all the time. Yet most of us fail to enlist the service of our allies, God's mighty angels. Angels assist in warfare, deliverance, protection, and healing. Some angels are assigned to nations or regions, others to churches, and even to individuals. In Matthew 18:10, Jesus says, "See that you don't look down on one of these ones, because I tell you that in heaven, their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven." It says angels, plural, which means at least two. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that the angels that are assigned to us at birth are ever relieved of their duties. I know some of you who might have worn out more than two angels. Not naming any names. But angels have ministered to me many, many times. I know they've saved my life more than once. Tom and I were on a trip to Arkansas a couple of years ago, and we were in this area that was, we just drove into a spot that we could just feel the oppression in that area, just demonic oppression. It's like we just drove under a cloud. And while we were there, at one point we drove up to a light and stopped at a red light. The light turned green, and Tom didn't go. And I thought, well, that's odd. And I looked over at him, and it was like everything was like a movie that was on pause. He was on pause. Everything was on pause, and I couldn't speak. And I heard a voice say, wait. And about that time, an 18-wheeler just blew through the intersection. And then it was like somebody pushed play. And Tom moved, and we drove off. We went through the intersection. But I knew that we had been spared. If we had gone when the light had turned green, we would have been hit by that truck. And that's just one occasion when I know that the angels had saved our lives. In Hebrews 12:22, it says that there are myriads of angels. That means they are innumerable. Psalms 103:20-21 tells us that the Lord's angels listen and respond to his commands. His armies do his will. One of the names for the Lord is Lord Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. That means Lord of angel armies. Psalms 103:20-21 tells us that the Lord's angels listen and respond to his commands. When we decree the word of the Lord over a situation, the angels spring into action. We don't worship angels, for they're servants of God, just as we are, and they don't do our work for us. But we can loose angels in the name of Jesus to assist us in the work of the kingdom. When the church, the ecclesia, declares the reign and dominion of King Jesus over a region, angels begin to assist in establishing it. Angel armies set ambushes against the enemies of God, including powers and principalities, rulers and dominions. They war in both the natural and spiritual realms, and they can help clear a region than help to maintain it and patrol its borders. It's much easier to get things done in the natural realm when an open heaven has been established in the spiritual realm. In Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seizing it by force. It's time for the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, to get forceful, not with physical violence, but with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's time to declare and decree the word of God and use the keys of the kingdom given to us by Jesus to bind and loose things. For instance, we have elections coming up. By all means, vote for righteousness when the election comes. But go ahead and begin to declare righteousness over our region and our nation now. If any of you saw President Trump's announcement rally, you saw Paula White pray. That was an example of this. We declare the kingship of Jesus over our county, state, and nation. We bind every assignment of the enemy against the people of God. We bind poverty and loose abundance. We bind sickness and loose health. We loose all spiritual gifts. We loose what was stolen from God's people to be returned with interest. We bind all old religious mindsets, and we loose the freedom to follow this new move of God. We loose the greatest awakening and revival this world has ever seen, and we loose angel armies to help gather in the harvest in Jesus' name. The church, the ecclesia, should be setting the conditions and standards of our region by using the keys of the kingdom of heaven that were given to us by King Jesus to bind the assignments of the enemy and to loose our covenant blessings. The Lord is calling his church to wake up, arise, and take her place because his glory is coming. We aren't called to be observers and spectators. We aren't called to just be consumers. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. The consuming fire of God's glory is beginning to fall, and He is calling His people to action. The Lord says, "Arise, armies of God, sons and daughters of the Most High, arise and put on your armor, for the day of battle has come." This is not a season to simply hold ground. This is the season to advance. This is the day to take back what the enemy has stolen. This is the day to possess what was promised. Where are my Joshuas, my Gideons, and my Davids? Where are my Deborahs and my Esthers? Have I not set you in this time and this place, says the Lord? The battle is before you. Arise, my warriors. Call on me, for I am the Lord of hosts, and I have legions of armies at the ready to fight with you and for you. Do not shrink back. The battle is now. I will put fear and dread in the enemy camps. Your shouts of faith and your songs of praise are mighty weapons that will pull down strongholds and rout the enemy. You are more than conquerors. Arise, my church. Get ready. Get ready for my glory. I am unleashing my glory and my presence on the earth. Church, get ready. Never before have I released my glory in such measure. Be prepared or be overwhelmed. Prophesy, prophesy, speak life. Say to the dry bones, live. Say to the dead dreams, live. Declare and decree my living word and see resurrection miracles. Arise, mighty warriors, boots to the ground. Get ready for the consuming fire of my glory, says the Lord. Amen.